One way to practice gratitude to help with imposter syndrome is to do something called a nighttime reflection. So this is where you pick between one and three things that you love and appreciate about your life, and you then connect with these in your imagination just before you fall asleep at night. And the reason this works so well is because just before you go to sleep, you tend to drift into a light state of trance, what we often call an altered state of consciousness. So the brain becomes more malleable, more plastic. So we tend to be in a much more imaginative, a more suggestible state. So exercises like these start to train the brain deliberately for positivity. So in this episode of the Stress Less Living podcast, we're going to take a look at how to use the practice of gratitude to help overcome imposter syndrome. Hey there, and welcome to the Stress Less Living podcast. My name is Stephen Burns, and I've been a practicing coach, trainer, and hypnotherapist for 25 years. Each week, I'll share easily digestible, bite-sized ideas that you can immediately put into practice so that you can live a more harmonious and balanced life. On this podcast, you can expect mindset advice, strategies for dealing with big modern-day problems like stress, overwhelm, burnout, perfectionism, and procrastination, and also insights into tools like meditation and mindfulness. So if you're looking for the perfect antidote for the chaos of modern life, my friend, you are absolutely in the right place. So let's get started. So in case you didn't listen to the previous episode where we talked about imposter syndrome, it is of course the fear of being found out. And this is something that many people experience, and weirdly, it often affects those who are intelligent and actually pretty knowledgeable and skilled at what they do. So if you want to check out that episode where we talked about the five different types of imposter syndrome, then if you want to check out episode number four. But one of the things I mentioned in that episode is that imposter syndrome actually isn't a syndrome, that the researchers who first coined the term, Pauline Clance and Dr. Suzanne Imes, apparently hate that it's now widely talked about as a syndrome, because it's not. It's a mindset. It's a set of beliefs that we have about ourselves and the world. That what is more accurate is to call it imposter's phenomena or imposter's experience. So in this episode, we're going to continue to call it the imposter's experience, and what we're going to look at in this episode is how to overcome imposter's experience using the practice of gratitude. And the reason why gratitude is important to help with this is because it helps you create a strong psychological foundation. It helps you feel good enough before you even start to go after your goals, before you even attempt to be successful at anything. So if things don't go your way, or you think that you maybe haven't met your high expectations that you set for yourself, rather than it feeling like some kind of cataclysmic failure, you have something strong and positive to fall back on. It's a wee bit like, I don't know if you've ever done a trust fall before. It's like these kind of weird things you do at these kind of outward bound experiences, or maybe it's some sort of, you know, corporate training that you've been involved in. But basically what happens is you have to fall back, you're usually blindfolded, into someone's arms so that they catch you. You can even take it further than that, do it on steroids, so to speak, and fall off high platforms and have lots of people catch you and crazy stuff like that. Well, to not practice gratitude is a bit like doing a trust fall, but not having anyone there to catch you. But when we are connected with everything that's good about us and our life, when we do practice gratitude regularly, when we do fall, there's something solid there to catch us and keep us protected. So that is what practicing gratitude does for you. So what I want to do in this episode is I want to first talk about what gratitude is, bust a couple of myths and misconceptions, and then we'll look at some practical ways that you can put it into your daily life. So, what is gratitude? Well, gratitude is where you give yourself full credit for everything that's currently good about you and your life. And the reason why we need to consciously practice it is because of something called the negative bias. So I don't know if you've heard of the negative bias before, but it's the idea that the brain tends to highlight negative events more strongly than positive ones. That one of the prime directives of our brain is to keep us safe. So if it senses a potential threat, it tends to highlight that strongly and brightly inside your mind so that you can avoid it. And that's incidentally why things like traumatic memories can be quite difficult to let go of, especially without proper therapeutic intervention, because our brain wants to keep a hold of them in order to protect us against something similar happening in the future. By the way, as a bit of an aside, the negative bias is also why older people can end up being just a little bit more cynical than younger people. I remember when I first started a job in the oil and gas industry, I was a fresh-faced teenager, I think I was only 18 years old, and one of the first things I encountered was some older guys who had been working with the company for over 20 years. And man, they were super cynical and negative, and all they did was moan and whine all the time. And I was thinking, what have I got myself into here? Is this what I've got to look forward to? But the thing is, it wasn't necessarily their fault. It was because of the negative bias. They had built up a stockpile of negative examples and experiences that have been highlighted so brightly inside their mind that there wasn't much space left for positivity. So it's for this reason that you have to practice gratitude. There are other good reasons, but I think this is one of the key ones. If you don't, then you will become naturally more negative and cynical and less happy over time. And I'm sure you don't want that. I certainly don't want that for you. And that leads me nicely on to the first big misconception about practicing gratitude. And that is the idea that it's only something that New Age hippies or yogi masters do. This is absolute nonsense. Gratitude is for everyone. In fact, there's an argument to say that if you are in a busy and challenging job, or you have a hectic lifestyle, then you should be doing it more, because you're much more likely to come up against adversity and challenge. You're more likely to have moments that don't go your way. You're probably more likely to hit a crisis or have times where you literally want to pull your hair out than maybe someone who meditates every day and spends most of the time in a state of spiritual bliss. Well, hey, I'm sure yogi masters also have their challenges, but I think you get the picture. So don't think that just because you're maybe not into slightly esoterical practices that you shouldn't take the time to practice gratitude. Let's call a spade here. You should probably be doing it more. Are you someone who struggles with work-life balance? You find it difficult to maintain harmony between career ambitions and your personal well-being. You're doing your best to balance demands and deadlines with the other important aspects of your life, but things like burnout, stress, and a nagging sense of guilt seem to forever lurk in the background. Well, one of the very best first steps that you can do to create more balance is to do a full life audit. This is a powerful process that helps you highlight areas of your life that are a little bit out of sync and need to be addressed so that you can return to a more harmonious place. So if you want to do a life audit, then I have a free PDF that will take you through the entire thing. To get access to that, please check the show notes. You'll see a link and all the information you need. So that's the first misconception. The second one is the idea that people think that gratitude is the same thing as being self-indulgent or even self-absorbed. Again, another complete misconception. As I mentioned previously, gratitude is about giving yourself full credit for all of the things that are great about you and your life. And you then use this sense of gratitude to create a stronger psychological foundation. You create a platform that you can then use to enjoy life more and potentially make a difference. Whereas being self-indulgent is more about just doing what you want all the time, attending to your needs, and not really offering value to other people. And again, these are very different things. And when you actually think about it, in some ways, practicing gratitude can actually make you more selfless because you have more to give. You know, think about it. What kinds of people do you like to be around? Miserable, emotional vampires who suck the life out of every room they go into, or people who exude a sense of happiness, passion, and a zest for life? Obviously, it's going to be the latter, isn't it? You know, as the saying goes, you can't help the poor by becoming one of them. Well, the same thing applies emotionally. By practicing gratitude, you will become happier. You become more secure, and as a result, you'll just naturally have more to give other people. So don't think that practicing gratitude is self self-indulgent or self-absorbed, the reality is that more often than not, it's actually the opposite. So, of course, how do we use gratitude to help with the imposter's experience? That is the topic of this podcast, after all. Well, there are a few ways, but in this episode, I want to keep things super easy and super simple. And I think the most basic way to do it is to do something I call a nighttime reflection. So this is really easy. What you do is, in the evening, before you go to bed, you pick between one and three things that you love currently about you or your life. And then when you're in bed, you kind of lie down, you relax for a moment, and then you start to imagine them inside your mind. And then you want to step into these thoughts. You can make them brighter inside your mind as well. It's kind of like you have a dial in there that you can turn up. And what that does is it often makes the feeling stronger. And you can step into them to the extent where you really start to feel the feelings that you get when you fully connect with these things that you're grateful for. And then just spend, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes being mindful of these feelings, just connecting with them, enjoying them, and just allowing them to be there. And the reason this works so well is just before you go to sleep, you tend to drift into a light state of trance, what we call an altered state of consciousness. So the brain then becomes more malleable, it becomes more plastic. We tend to be more imaginative and more suggestible. So exercises like these actually start to train the brain deliberately for positivity. So that's a super simple way to practice gratitude. A more advanced way, if you want to take this to the next level, is to keep a gratitude journal. Now, I know you're maybe thinking, you're like, Steve, that's so cheesy, do I really have to do this? But remember the negative bias. If you don't, then over time, it's going to get you. I know it's annoying, I know it's unfortunate, but we have to do something to correct it. So how do we do this? Well, what you want to do is you want to get a journal, of course, and then write down a list of things that you're grateful for, and then just keep adding to that list. And then every now and again, you want to spend some time reminding yourself of the things in the list and then reconnecting with them in your imagination. So personally, I like to be quite geeky about this. That might not come as a surprise to you, but I can be a bit of a colossal geek now and again. But I like to put these into categories. So I have 6 main categories in my gratitude journal. So the first one is activities. So we're talking about hobbies and pastimes that you enjoy, that give you pleasure. The second one is people. So these are the special people in your life that when you see their faces, they just make you smile with joy. Maybe it's your kids or your close friends or some of your work colleagues. Maybe it's definitely not your work colleagues. People who support you, maybe your family, people who you love and admire. Whoever they are for you, you want to include them in your list in this category. Then for me, the third category is experiences. So these are things that you've done in your past, or maybe things that are ongoing that give you satisfaction and joy just by simply doing them. Experiences that just seem to be a natural good fit for you. And then the next category is commodities. So these are the material things that you have. Hey, it doesn't necessarily make you superficial if you like material stuff. If you only like material stuff, then that probably does make you a bit superficial, but hey, I'm not going to judge. But if it's just one of the many other things that give you joy and satisfaction, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with, you know, accrediting yourself for that and then connecting with those things. So maybe you're thankful for your house, the roof over your head, or your car. You know, the fact that you drive because it gives you independence, or the paycheck that your job gives you. Or maybe it's something simple like your 60-inch TV that you absolutely love watching Netflix on. Hey, again, I'm not going to sit here and judge you if you want to put that down on your list. Whatever fits for you, whatever gives you joy and satisfaction. And then the fifth category is your personality qualities. So these are the aspects of you that make you shine, that make you stand out. And this is no time to be modest here. That's not what practicing gratitude is all about. It's about giving yourself full credit for what is great about you now. And I think this is a really important one when it comes to helping with the imposter's experience, because we do tend to be quite modest and gloss over these and take them for granted. So if you're struggling with this one, by the way, which many people do, it's likely because you're just too close, or you're involving, you know, your own issues, your own limitations in this assessment. So what you can do is you can ask a trusted friend, you know, what personality qualities do you think I have? Why do you like me? Now, if you don't want to do that, if that makes you feel a little bit icky, then one little mindset hack that you can use is to step into the shoes of someone who loves or admires you, in your imagination, of course. And then from this position, you want to look back at yourself and pay attention to all of the amazing qualities through the eyes of someone who loves or admires you. And all of a sudden, when you do this, you start to see the things that you would normally take for granted. So I love this technique. It's absolutely amazing. You definitely want to try it. And of course, when they come to mind, you want to write them down in your journal. You want to keep a note of them. And lastly, the sixth category, and again, this is another huge one for helping with imposter's experience, is you want to write down a list of your successes. So these are your accomplishments, the things that you have achieved. And this is the one I think that most people tend to gloss over. Maybe they just don't want to come across as being boastful. But the thing is, I'm not asking you to tell everybody about your successes. That would be boastful. But I am asking you to internalize the feelings of your successes. And that's all you need to do here. Because when you do this, you actually often don't feel the need to boast externally because you're feeling them on the inside. Usually people who boast, they do it in order to fill some kind of big psychological void. But when you internalize the feelings of your accomplishments, you don't have that void. So you don't feel like you have anything to prove, and you don't feel like you have to be out there boasting to people all the time. So a specific method I like to use for this is what I call the trophy room technique. And this is where you're looking to create an inner trophy room using a list of your successes. So I got this technique from a story I heard about Tiger Woods. Now, I actually don't know if this story is true, but I do like the metaphor, so I'm going to tell you anyway. And hey, Tiger, if you're listening to this podcast and I've got the story wrong, my apologies. I don't think you'll be listening, but hey, you never know. So basically what Tiger Woods used to do before a big competition was he would go into a room in his house, and in this room he had all of the trophies that he'd ever won, and he had actually arranged them in chronological order. And then he would spend some time, you know, just reconnecting with the memories connected with each of these trophies, those moments where he won and he felt absolutely amazing. And he would just do this with each of the trophies, and then by the end of, you know, the experience, he would come out, he would walk onto the first tee, or he would go to the practice grounds before the tournament, and he would just feel absolutely amazing because he'd taken the time to connect with all of these successes. So like I said, I'm not even sure if that story's true, but I don't think it really matters. I think it's the idea, it's the metaphor, it's what it's symbolic of. And that's kind of what you're looking to do here, and you're looking to create a version of this in your journal. So what I have is a chronological list of all of the successes that I've had from the time I left school. And I have little keywords in my journal that reminds me of each of these successes. And the key thing when you're doing this for yourself is that you want to pick things from your past that made you feel successful at the time. Now, they might not be a big deal now, but at the time, they made you feel amazing. So, for example, when I was, I think it was 17, I got a job in the oil and gas industry as an apprentice. Now, relatively speaking, that's not a massive success. It's not earth-shattering or anything like that, but it was huge for me at the time. It was a difficult period in my life, and that meant quite a lot to me. Another one was working with my first hypnotherapy client, so we're going back many, many years here. And again, that's nothing for me to really crow about now, but at the time, it was massive. It was a super big deal, and I felt amazing afterwards. So you want to make a list of your successes in chronological order. I'd suggest that you write them down from the moment you left school, some of the big moments that stand out, and then spend some time connecting with each of them. So I actually do a more deep and intense version of this when I work with a client that I call the success tunnel. So this is where I first of all get them to arrange their successes and accomplishments in chronological order, and then I get them to step into each of them inside their mind one after another. And I take a lot of time with this as well. And it's such a fantastic process. They feel amazing after it. But what it's also doing is it's helping you build this strong psychological foundation. If you remember the analogy about the trust fall, you're building that real strong, you know, solid thing to fall back on. So this is an amazing thing to do to help with imposter's experience, because often the fear of being found out blinds us from our successes. We only see the failures and the setbacks, and we don't give ourselves credit for what we've already done well. There are so many things in there that you're not connecting with right now, especially if you're someone who is a high achiever, a so-called A-type personality, or maybe a perfectionist. You need to definitely do this more. Also, again, the negative bias comes into this as well. So we do need to work a little bit harder to highlight the positive experiences in our life. So that's how I like to arrange my gratitude journal into six different categories. I just find it much more powerful than randomly throwing stuff down, but you can see what works for you. And the general idea of this is you then want to spend some time periodically reviewing and connecting with the things on your gratitude list. And again, you can do this with a nighttime reflection. That makes it much more powerful. And you don't have to do it every day to get the benefits. The more, the better, of course. But even if you do it once or twice a week, this is still going to make a positive difference to your life. It's not an all or nothing thing. I find that this is the thing that prevents people from doing techniques like this, from putting them into practice, as they think that they have to do them every single day, and if they don't, then the whole game is up. That's not the way it works. Small things every now and again is still much better than doing nothing at all. So that is how to use gratitude to help with the imposter's experience. Let's do a quick summary, shall we? So first of all, practicing gratitude is where you give yourself full credit for everything that is currently good about you and your life. And it helps with the imposter's experience because it creates this strong psychological foundation. Remember the analogy of the trust fall. And one of the main reasons why you want to be practicing this as regularly as you possibly can is because of the negative bias. This annoying fact that our brain has a tendency to highlight negative events more than positive ones. So we have to have a way to counteract this. And then a simple method for practicing gratitude is to do a nighttime reflection. Just to pick one or two or three things, and just before you fall asleep at night, just spend some time stepping into the thoughts of these things and connecting with them and feeling them, and just spend some time being mindful of those feelings. And what that does is it just makes the brain more plastic, and you start to deliberately train your brain for positivity. And then a more complicated, or not complicated, a slightly more advanced way is to have a gratitude journal and to arrange it into six different categories. For me, that can just be so much more powerful. It tends to cover lots of different bases. So that is how to use gratitude to help with the imposter's experience. I hope you enjoyed this and you got value out of it. If you did, I would love it if you could follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you could take the time to leave a review, I would be massively appreciative of that. So thank you once again for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.